Good morning. Welcome. This is the educational meeting of the Judicial Council of California for February 25th, 2013. This is part of a two-day meeting, and our business meeting will take place tomorrow. The meeting's now in session. I remind council members that our meetings are audiocast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website. I believe council member Ms. Angela Davis is or will be joining us by phone. And for her benefit and the benefit of the online audience, please speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that listeners and real-time captioning readers can follow our discussion. The Judicial Council has an open meeting policy under Rule 10.6. Our business meetings are open to the public. Our agendas are posted in advance. Our meetings include public comment, our audio cast over the web, press releases are issued on all of our actions, the minutes are posted to the Judicial Council website, and the chairs of our internal committees report on their activities at every regularly scheduled council meeting in writing and also verbally. We enhance our Judicial Council website on a regular basis, and for this meeting, biographies of members have been added to the site, and I know there are plans to continue to enhance the site by expanding the information provided to the public, not only on the work of our internal committees, but also our advisory committees. We had a one-hour closed session meeting earlier today that also was covered under Rule 10.6 to deliberate on a procedural and legal issue. The bulk of today's education meeting is open to the public. And certain of our commissions, working groups, and task forces have opened their meetings to the public, including the Court Facilities Working Group, which is dealing with the difficult issues of balancing reduced funding with safe and secure courthouses for the public. Over the last 2 years, Justice Miller and the Executive and Planning Internal Committee have done much to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of council committees and their accessibility to the public. I am sure we will continue to do so. The first item on the agenda is item one. It's no action. This is an education meeting. It's the Phoenix program, the deployment of Phoenix payroll system. And I believe we have Ms. Jody Patel, AOC Chief of Staff, and also Mr. Kurt Soderlund, AOC Chief Administrative Officer. Welcome.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you. This was prompted by an event that occurred roughly 2 weeks ago within the announcement that the State Controller's Office was canceling what's called the 21st Century Project in terms of their relationship with a specific vendor. And because of that termination, Justice Miller asked that we give a short presentation regarding Phoenix here today. One distinction of note is the fact that SAP, the product, is the same thing that we use for Phoenix payroll. There is absolutely nothing wrong with SAP, the product. The issue, as we understand it, dealt with SAP Consulting, which is a different arm of SAP. It's noteworthy that SAP Consulting in the industry is known as just about the most expensive consulting firm to have on board. So we're going to go through a PowerPoint presentation. There's a fact sheet, the Phoenix program timeline, and Phoenix program metrics that are in your handouts also. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jody.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. The Phoenix program, as many of you are aware, is in terms of services and functionality, equivalent to what the executive branch has with the Controller's Office, Department of Finance, and the Department of Personnel Administration all rolled into one. And it's the judicial branch's version of those three departments on the executive branch side. And as Kurt just mentioned, our Phoenix program is consistent and similar with the executive branch's efforts with two projects, 21st Century Project, which is a project that the State Controller's Office has embarked on, which would provide payroll services to all executive branch agencies, and the FISCAL project, which is sponsored by the State Department of Finance, which would have the financial accounting and procurement components similar to Phoenix. Phoenix is a comprehensive statewide integrated administrative system, and it covers financial management, procurement, HR management, and payroll for the trial courts. SAP, as Kurt has indicated, is an enterprise resource planning software. So we differentiate the software that we're using from the vendor that we utilize in helping us configure the software for use by our branch. SAP, just to give you a little bit of background, is a company that started in 1975 by former IBM employees. It stands for Systems, Applications, and Products. In German, I'm not going to say those words because I can't pronounce them, but the translation is Systems, Applications, and Products. And our software includes both components, financial and HR, and both sides of SAP. You can have an organization that only has one or the other, or for organizations and branches that have both components, the financial piece and the HR piece, the software is meant to be fully integrated so that when you run payroll for an organization, the dollars that it costs for the payroll can easily be transferred electronically to your financial side of your shop, if you will. And that's kind of the beauty of Phoenix, if you will, because it's all integrated and it works really well in sync with each other. For the judicial branch, our Phoenix program, the financial and the HR sides, both started on two separate tracks. In the early 2000s, the AOC embarked on what was then known as CARS, Court Accounting and Reporting System. Several years later, we embarked on the HR component, which at that point in time was called CRIS, the Court Human Resources Information System. But because we had some issues by developing both sides of the product on two very separate tracks, we ran into some functionality, communication, as well as some management issues with the project. Back then, the project was headed up by the directors of finance, IS, and HR here at the AOC. In 2006, when I came to the AOC in March of 2006 as a regional administrative director, we had deployed the financial side of Phoenix to about 15, 18 courts, something like that. At that point in time, as I just mentioned, because they were split projects, we ran into some issues. In particular, we were receiving quite a number of complaints and resistance from the trial courts because the system was developed using a medium-sized court as a pilot, and then whatever was developed for that medium-sized court was the actual software that was being deployed to all of the trial courts based on a schedule, regardless of size or other needs that the court might have had. So in May of 2006, the project was shifted to the Northern Central Regional Office, where Kurt and I took over the split projects, and we merged both of the HR side and the finance side, all of the teams, all of the staff together. We rebranded the entire project, called it Phoenix, and we stepped back and you want to go to the next slide? No. We formed an advisory committee. There was really no mechanism for trial courts to have input into a system that was being deployed to the trial courts. So one of the first things we did was we developed an advisory committee that was representative of small, medium, and large courts so that court executive officers who end up having to live with the system, them and their staff, had direct input with regard to what's working, what isn't working, what do you need, how do we make it better to meet your needs. We also created a change control review board. Our philosophy back then was that the system is a system that was necessary as a statewide branch for us to ensure that we have consistent information coming from all 58 trial courts. So the AOC is responsible for deploying the system and managing the system. But our philosophy truly was that it's the trial courts and their employees who really have to live with the system day in and day out. And so it's got to work for them. And the way that, in addition to the committee, that we formed the control review board, so that the board was comprised of a variety of different folks so that we could solicit input on the priority for changes that were needed in the system directly from the trial courts.
In addition to that, Phoenix is not a static system.
Right.
There are roughly 6 to 10 changes that occur on a weekly basis, and a lot of it is just on the natural. There are changes regarding statutes or tax laws that have to be configured within the system. If there are changes in health plans or dental or whatever, retirement, then those also have to be configured into the system. So it's a dynamic process, basically.
Mm-hmm. The other change that we made was that we refined the schedule for deploying the financial system to all 58 courts such that every quarter we were deploying the finance piece of it to at least 3 to 5 courts. We also worked with our vendor early in the when we first inherited the project. Our vendor was Bearing Point, and it was very, very clear to us almost immediately that there were some significant issues with regard to configuration of the system as well as some of the practices by the vendor. So we opted to terminate our agreement with that vendor and put the entire project out to bid again. And we contracted with EpiUse, which is a world-renowned vendor that specializes in SAP deployment. But one of the I think, key things that we were able to do is our staff watched the vendor deploy the Phoenix system to the trial courts during one cycle. The second cycle, our staff did some of the deployment activities in partnership with the vendor. The third cycle, our staff did all of the deployment activities with oversight from the vendor and then gradually moved away from using the vendor where our staff were able to do these deployments on their own. We did develop some guiding principles in partnership with several of the court execs. We actually one day had a meeting that lasted like 4 hours, which was very enlightening for us, where we sat down and said, tell us everything you want to tell us about the system, and we got a year full. So based on that, we developed some guiding principles. The configuration of the system must be for the benefit of all of the courts, regardless of size. Partnering with courts was essential to the success. As I indicated, the system had to work for the trial courts. We wanted to make sure that our design and implementation was done in a partnership with the trial courts that balances affordability. We recognize that one size does not fit all, and that especially for the very, very small courts, there are components of the system that are just too much for a small court. So it had to be a very flexible system so that it can meet the needs of the varying size courts. We ensured participation was balanced with existing workloads so that the deployment activity wasn't onerous on the part of the trial court because they still had their day jobs. And we were committed to a clear early dialogue with the AOC and court responsibilities and time requirements. The vision recognized local perspectives when necessary, yet keeping in mind that this had to be a statewide system. And the Phoenix program, we obtained input directly from subject matter experts in each of the trial courts. We had various little subcommittees made up of financial, HR, payroll, accounting, procurement experts. And lastly, we recognize that customization and changes to the design had a one-time impact on configuration costs as well as additional costs for maintenance.
So this is where the system or the lack of a system, this is supposed to be representative of our attempts to try and have better communications with the State Controller's Office, the Department of Finance, the Governor's Office, and the legislature. And this is our best representation that before Phoenix, the squiggly lines there basically represented the need for improvement in communication with those control functions. And so this was the desired result that we strove to make available to those control agencies. It should be noted right now that in meetings with the Department of Finance, they also recognize that right now, because of the Phoenix financial side of things, that there is an abundance of information that can be provided to these control agencies because all the courts, all 58, are on the financial system. I'm not going to belabor this point, but these are the modules for the Phoenix financials. There's 10 of them there, and they help process the workload through the system. This is the Phoenix Human Resources. This is the payroll portion of it. And as Jody indicated, particularly on running payroll, you have to have both sides integrated with each other. And early on in 2006 and 2007, we worked fairly exhaustively, both internally because we had issue with the finance side, and I talked to HR, and that was true at the local level also.
What's the difference between the green and the white, the way you the graphics? Just go back. One HR or one financial? Or
We just like different colors.
Oh. It got your attention, Chief.
I thought there was a grand scheme of organization there.
I'm a farmer, so I'm a simpleton, So the 58 courts were deployed on Phoenix as of July 2009. The last was Los Angeles, that no one ever thought that we could actually be able to say that. But that worked very, very well. And our compliments to the Los Angeles technology staff who were integral in making sure that that transition went very, very smoothly. Obviously, Los Angeles was saved for last for the obvious reasons, and that it's the biggest. And so that was a good experience, I think, both for the court as well as the AOC and the Judicial Council. Seven courts have the payroll system as of August 2010. We also did a major upgrade during that time frame in 2009 because, just like with Microsoft or any other product, there are upgrades that occur on a regular basis every 4 or 5 years. So each implementation effort was deployed on time and within budget. And just as a little aside, a few years ago, Jody and I had testified for the legislature on a budget change proposal that we were trying to get through. And when we talked about being on time and within budget, as you might suspect, one of the senators kind of leaned over to each other, and those mics are very, very sensitive. And this may be foretelling, but said, gee, if only the executive branch could do stuff like that. So that was good to hear. So as Jody had indicated, this was a schedule of the FI deployments, the financial portion of it. And as you can see, there was a rollout schedule and, fairly aggressive. And as she indicated, we learned as we went through the process.
After each quarter, we always did a lessons learned so that we tried to improve on any bumps in the road. So I think after the second year, there were very, very few bumps in the road. You turn the switch, and it's like it wasn't even a blip.
So the deployment history for payroll started in 2006, and it was implemented in 2007. Whoops. And it started with Sacramento. And we added Lake, Riverside, Santa Cruz, Siskiyou, and Stanislaus. And I should say, in the 2007 deployment, to be honest, that was a little bit rough at certain points in time. But we learned from that experience, and we put it to good use further down the road. Our last payroll deployment was in 2008-09, and it was to San Bernardino. And it talked about also having HR system stabilization, which leads me to the next slide, and this is probably the most important. When we deployed to San Bernardino, we developed a deployment toolkit. And what that means is we would use the same toolkit based upon these templates to do any future deployments of Phoenix on the payroll side of things. And we incorporated a lot of information from the lessons learned activities that Jody had talked about from all these prior deployments, and we put that information to good use. There is additional functionality that we own and can implement at some point in time. I'm not going to belabor all six of those items, but there's more functionality that is available at some point if we can actually get some additional funding. So the current status is we're maintaining the system in its current state, except for the change requests that I previously had mentioned and Jody talked about too. We had to suspend the payroll deployments due to budget issues. The payroll budget for Phoenix was cut by 47%. We currently have 11 courts that are anxious to get on the system. We're basically in a minimal maintenance mode at this point in time. Some courts have also expressed interest in those new functional components that I previously indicated. We have just a minimal number of system integrators on staff right now. We just have about 5.5 PYs, and we're in the process of issuing or have issued an RFP because our system integrator's contract expires at the end of this fiscal year, so we need to have a replacement vendor, even though, again, that support will be minimal. And we're open for questions.
If I can just add really, really quickly, the toolkit that Kurt mentioned, should the branch receive funding in the future to assist the 11 courts who have indicated an interest in deploying the HR system, that toolkit can readily be resurrected, if you will, and used as the structure for easy deployments. It's still challenging, but I think, like with San Bernardino, the experience was that the switch was turned on and there were very, very minimal, if any, issues with the system from day one on. And so the hope with the toolkit is that we could mirror that with future courts coming on to HR.
And that is correct. All we would really need if funding was available is just ramp-up time.
Thank you. Alan Carlson and Justice Hill.
A couple questions. So my understanding is that the fiscal side of Phoenix keeps track of every single penny that goes in and out of the trial courts, revenues, whatever. It all goes through there.
As long as, what's input into the system, it's all tracked.
So if the legislature or the governor or somebody wants to know every single dime that goes that is being spent by trial courts or collected by trial courts, it all passes through Phoenix. It's there to find out, right?
It's entered into the system.
I know where you're going with that. So last Friday, Zlatko and Corey and Jody and I have standing meetings with the Department of Finance, and we brought this issue up that if they wanted to look at what's in Phoenix, it's all there.
Yeah. Because what's come up in our funding committee is, why is money going up to Sacramento and back down again physically when it's all electronic anyway and it's all reported in Phoenix?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's a concern. Mm-hmm. The other thing has come up, and I understand that there's probably been a change in philosophy from when the concept first came up. But now that we're looking at funding, the allocation of funding, the question of if some courts have some Phoenix services and others don't, HR being the cleanest example, are those courts that are using the HR system paying for the HR system separately?
Yes.
Correct, they are.
Because that's going to be coming up more. There's a lot of concern, and I think part of it, frankly, is misinformation or just not understanding how that works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so for the seven
courts. So we may need to do more of that.
Yeah, so for the seven courts that are on the system, yes, they're currently using the old chargeback methodology.
Justice Hull.
Yeah, Chief, thank you. Before I ask my question, I should note that many people have told me that Justice Hill and I look a great deal the same. And I take that as a huge compliment. So. Thank you, Chief. I was just wondering, we've got seven courts using the HR side of the program. 11 want to, which would bring us up to 18. Do the remaining 40 feel they've got their own systems in place, or is there any plan to expand beyond the 18?
Right now, the courts that are not on system, as a general rule, they use another vendor called ADP. Now, the experience that we've seen with ADP is it works okay for smaller courts. Fresno, about 2 years ago, as I recall, went on to ADP as a larger court, and they've experienced nothing but heartache since that point in time. Otherwise, they can be on the county system too. Some of the other courts that are interested had been Fresno, who wanted to come on to the system. San Diego, Mike Roddy beats me up about the head and shoulders about every other week wanting to get on because they're paying much more to the county than they would be paying to us.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Judge Rosenberg, then Judge So, then Justice Miller.
So let me see if I understand. This is a system that has been fully vetted, works, obtains the data that's needed, is is transparent and available to folks in Sacramento. And did you say we're cutting the program? Was it 46%?
It was cut by 47%. As we went into the budget crisis, the future deployments of payroll became a victim of that.
I think it was back in 2009-10, the first or second year of budget reductions, the first area that was cut was the Phoenix area, one of the primary areas that was cut.
Okay.
Judge, so?
How much would it cost to put it in for those 11 courts?
We did something for Fresno, remember? You could extrapolate
It's probably, for like a court like Fresno, we'd estimate it's something around, you know, $800,000. The odd part about this is that it's much more cost-effective to do a wave of courts at the same time, and that is because you need certain experts from a system integrator or from our staff, and you can have one court that requires a particular expert or series of experts for everything, but then when you add additional courts, it's not like you have to double the staff. There are increments that add on to that.
Once it's in, do the courts then save money?
In some instances, yes. Yeah, I won't say in all instances. There's a general rule. The savings occurred in the medium to the larger courts, the smaller courts, because there was much more functionality than they had previously experienced.
Right.
They were getting more bang for the buck, so to speak. I should also add, though, that when going on to Phoenix, one of the things that we saw was many of the courts had not been what's called GASB and GAAP compliant, which is generally accepted accounting principles, and the Government Audit Standards Board. And so that was a change for the positive in terms of the courts.
Justice Miller?
Kind of a follow-up from Judge So, but is there a way to calculate what the savings is for the courts, factoring in together what the cost would be so that we could figure out how much the savings would be and how much we would have to spend to get those savings?
Yeah, there'd be a way to extrapolate that information. One of the things that we should have corrected a long time ago was within Phoenix, there are county costs that are captured, and the practice had been just to lump sum what those county costs were. So whether it's, you know, financial, procurement, HR, that we just had a lump sum. So we would have to do some extrapolations to try and figure out what are those distinctions. But, yes, we could do that exercise.
Absolutely.
Because to follow up, and again, on what, you know, Judge Rosenberg asked, and I think what he was trying to get at, I mean, in some sense, that's what our function is to try to figure that out. And if there's a way that we can benefit the trial courts by spending some money, it might be worth it. So I think it's something we should look at.
You agree?
Judge Ellsworth?
So Riverside is one of the counties that's on, and we think that it could made into a really good program, but we found some problems. There's some cost errors, and we found that in some respects there wasn't enough support, and that we had to put out some costs, hire staff to do some of the work because it didn't interface with other systems like the benefits payment or retirement system. So there's some little things that we found that there are some glitches, and we have a small complaint about it. I do believe it can turn into a really great program, and I would really suggest those courts that are on it, we had really surveyed them or really called them up and say, what are the good and bad about this? I think it would be very helpful to the council because we know those glitches, know some of the issues.
Thank you. Judge Herman.
Yeah, this has sort of been brought to the attention of not the tech committee as a whole, but to me, and I think this is something we should probably fold into tech and work on to make sure we accomplish the shaking out the bugs. So,
thank you. Yes, Mary Beth Todd.
In the past, I think the initial vision was that this program would be rolled out to all 50 courts eventually, like the financial system. Is that accurate?
That's true.
Do you anticipate in the future you would probably be coming back if funding was restored to, and make recommendation that that be the direction the program take?
That would be our recommendation.
So I guess my question would be, are you at this time putting together the same kind of groups you were putting together when you were doing the Phoenix Financials with all the court executive officers, you know, and especially recognizing that for the smaller courts that it's going to need some modification to bring them in earlier into the process so that we don't kind of have an already established system that now we're trying to retrofit back down to where it can roll out statewide.
Based on the lessons that we learned from the FI system, should it look like there would be funding in the near future, one of the first things we would do is bring together experts from the small, medium, and large courts before we would want to spend a penny on additional deployments, because what you want to do is make sure that whatever it is that we end up rolling out is something that is meaningful to the trial courts.
Yeah, the other thing I know that surrounding payroll, we've gone through it somewhat with the financial, but I think people feel a little more impassioned when it comes to their employees' information.
Yes.
Is who owns the data, and I think that's going to take some debate, and I would suggest we get through that process sooner rather than later so that we're not ready to roll out and we're having those kind of conversations.
Most definitely. If you'll remember when we had the four-hour meeting or so several years ago, that was one of, I want to say, half a dozen to a dozen items where we need to make sure that we've got a thorough understanding branch-wide of a variety of different questions. Yes, that being one of them.
Mm-hmm. Justice Baxter, then Alan Carlson.
I assume the Department of Finance would like to see all the courts, all the trial courts, utilizing the system. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, because the way it exists right now, we have more information for the seven courts than we do for the 51 because of the integration that occurs when you're on both the financial side and the payroll side. So if those were together in all 58 courts, there's probably not a lot we couldn't answer back to the Department of Finance.
You get a complete picture.
That being
picture.
True, could we expect the Department of Finance to be very supportive of additional funds in our budget to accomplish that task?
I think that when the larger issue in terms of once the economy starts to turn around, I think they would be very receptive to that.
Mm-hmm.
I should mention also the BCP that went through several years ago, it received no negative votes from anybody on the Assembly Budget Committee and no negative votes from any of the Senate Budget Committee.
Yeah, they supported full funding for Phoenix, but for the fiscal crisis.
Alan?
I would caution going a little slower on the consistency for the sake of consistency. There are real costs to that sometimes. We're not on HR system. We use our county system, and there's two reasons. One, it's way cheaper right now than the HR system would be through payroll. And two, our county has basically said, if you don't use our payroll system, you've got to go find your own benefits. And that's a huge cost and burden for us. And I suspect that's part of what's going on in Riverside is that you can trade your integration. Do you want to integrate it with your financial system, or do you want to be integrated with your benefit system?
Right.
You could have both. But it sounds to me like we don't have both yet in our HR system, and some of us would lose benefits if we went to this. So let's go a little slower on doing that, not just forcing everybody down that road, because it's way cheaper for me right now to use our county system than it is to use the...
And that issue was one of the half a dozen to a dozen questions that were posed by the court execs that does need to be resolved.
Any other comments or questions? This was very interesting and very helpful to know, especially, I think, knowing that one size doesn't fit all, how the efforts you've made to ensure that, but also hearing what Alan has indicated, that there are consequences to different courts. And so uniformity is not always the right way to go for the benefits of each.
Yeah, Chief, finance is very complicated. But I think HR payroll, especially for the courts and with the structure that we have in our branch, is tenfold more complex than the FI side. So I agree with Alan in that should we in the future embark on the payroll system, it really has to be done very, very thoughtfully.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Chief.